We'll now hear argument in number 88438, State of Missouri versus David Salazar.
May it please the court. We're here because David Salazar has been sentenced to 28 days in jail because his estranged wife committed adultery. They had been separated for 14 months when she gave birth to an infant that neither she nor David believe is his child. They had not slept together for 14 months.
They are still married.
They are still to this day married.
You know, I don't recall a case on child support enforcement where a lawsuit was brought against a father while they were still married. That is an unusual circumstance.
So is marriage.
Okay. Well, the decision of the criminal court as far as his liability for criminal non-support, will he be collaterally estopped in his dissolution proceeding to deny paternity?
No. No. If he could afford to get a dissolution, he would be able to have a court, a Division I circuit court, declare him not to be the father.
Is there still no dissolution pending?
No dissolution.
Even with all this, he's going to jail, and if he has he attempted to?
He is.
File for a dissolution?
He has never filed for dissolution. His estranged wife has approached legal aid trying to get a divorce through them, but they have never gotten to her. They're very busy.
What's the status of the presumption that a child born of the marriage is legitimate? Is a child of the fathered by the husband? And
the status of the presumption is that it still exists. David could, in the right
but
arena.
It's a rebuttable presumption.
It is a rebuttable
it's
presumption.
It's a rule of law.
Yes.
And that's what he could have contested had he taken advantage of the opportunity to do so before the administrative agency.
Had he understood how to do it, had he taken advantage of that, yes.
But they, if I understood correctly, that proceeding could not have determined he was not the father. There was no way to find someone else was the father. It could only find that he was, not that he wasn't. Is that sort of what the briefs seem to say?
Yes. Okay. That's correct.
But the question here is whether an administrative order that's docketed with the court has the same effect as an Article 5 judgment.
And there is good reason to believe that it should not. An Article 5 court, when someone is actually involved as a defendant, as a respondent in one of those cases, is typically served with papers. If the person can't be found, maybe by publication, he is notified. But in this case, when this was docketed to become a judgment, a letter was sent to David's last known address. So we get that other presumption, the mailbox rule from law school.
He'd been served, though.
Pardon me?
He'd been served before.
He was initially served
right
in the administrative proceeding.
Let me ask you this. The question that we're dealing with here is there a judgment? And I guess in the old-fashioned terminology, the question would be whether this issue had been determined and was collaterally estoppel. Collateral estoppel is to be applied to him to stop him from denying his paternity. Is that the position that the state has taken here?
I believe that's the state's position. I believe
but it's not the same claim. Because the claim in the administrative proceeding is to collect child support.
Yes.
And the claim here is for the state to put him in jail.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, let me ask you a question on the. So if he got a dissolution, we're not encouraging divorce, but if he got a dissolution, then the child could be declared not his child.
That's correct.
But he'd still have criminal liability?
He would probably have criminal liability for the arrearage of any monies that he owed during the time that the child was his. He might very well have a debt for an arrearage. I don't know for certain.
Well, all along, he has maintained this marriage without trying to do something about it, it seems to me.
Again, a person would have to know this individual. He went as far as the seventh grade. That's the grade he was in when he turned 16.
Well, he knew he wasn't the father.
Yes, that's correct.
But isn't the problem, if we look at the law from the point of view of knowing each individual, then there's no law at all. Everything you have to know the individual for. Here we have a set of rules and laws. He had every opportunity to take advantage of them and to get a declaration that he wasn't the father, but he didn't. Right?
I don't believe that the law should stop at that point, and no, I do not believe it should be customized to every person and leave opening for every frailty and every person who is very unsophisticated.
So how do we grant your client relief and maintain the rule of law?
Well, the state has indicated that the child was legitimated by legal process, and that goes back to a 30-year-old law here in Missouri, a law which has not been amended in any way for 15 years. It came out of the Uniform Parentage Act, which was a way for all the states to figure out how to recoup money so that the taxpayers were not supporting people's children when there were fathers. It's an old law, and it goes so far as to say how David became this child's father. He was legitimated by legal process, but legal process could be more than that. When that law went into effect, there was real concern that children not be bastardized. Think back 30 years ago, what a stigma it was to not have a father.
This child's not illegitimate. This child was born during a marriage.
Yes. But to take David's name off the birth certificate would make this child illegitimate.
Let me ask you a question. Am I correct? The trial court viewed the administrative determination as conclusive as to the issue of paternity. Did the trial court, one possibility to allow for individual consideration of circumstances is if an administrative determination of paternity, just like marriage, only allowed for a rebuttable presumption. In other words, that would have allowed the defendant and the wife to both put on their testimony that his actual fatherhood was an impossibility. Would that have satisfied the possibility of allowing for individual determination by adopting a rule that if it's an administrative determination, the court is not entitled to draw a conclusive presumption from it because of the lack of due process?
It very well might have, yes, Your Honor.
Coming back to Judge Price's question, how did he ever rebut this presumption at any time? In the legal process dealing with his requirement to give support, or even the criminal process?
In the administrative process, he received the notice. He thought it was almost a joke, like when you get a MasterCard in your Cocker Spaniel's name, or when your 3-year-old is ordered to show up for jury duty and you say, that's an error, that's a joke. And
Ignorance is not a defense.
Pardon me?
Ignorance is not a defense.
I understand that, but that's what he presumed. He just scribbled on the form, I am not the father, it is extremely impossible, and mailed it back, misspelled some of those words, not realizing that the administrative process was not going to pay attention to that. They took that as his request for a hearing. He didn't even have a fixed address or a fixed phone number, and so they never were able to contact him for the hearing. He never participated.
Well, he knew the purpose of the hearing was to establish child support payments as the father of the child.
I believe so, but I'm not absolutely certain. Again, this is a not very savvy person. He had no legal counsel until I...
What's the record reflect?
The record reflects that he scribbled something down, I am not the father, it's extremely impossible, and that the mother, who had received a similar notice, also wrote down, he is not the father. She mailed something back. The administrative organization, DCFE, paid no attention to that. They set it for a hearing. Neither David nor his estranged wife appeared.
But you're not contesting that he's bound by that administrative process by his failure to take advantage of the opportunities to respond. You're saying it should not be given collateral estoppel effect because he didn't have a full and fair opportunity to litigate whether or not he was in fact the father.
We're saying it should not be considered conclusive for purposes of him being on the hook for child support. I don't believe that what he did wrong here was not pay support for his child so much as he didn't follow the proper procedures administratively, and then when we got to court...
He didn't show up for the hearing.
No, he did not show up for the hearing. And it could have been a telephonic hearing, and he didn't even have a phone number for which they could reach him.
So then there was a criminal proceeding following this?
Then there was a criminal proceeding in an associate circuit court.
Then he didn't pay.
And then he didn't pay.
And then there was a criminal proceeding.
Well, yes. Administrative proceeding, he didn't pay. Administrative proceeding docketed for judgment.
Did the court, when it was docketed for judgment, was there ever any hearing or any evidence presented before the trial court?
None whatever.
To support the
none
the,
whatever.
If I could finish the question, though, so to support the finding of the administrative tribunal that he was the father.
Absolutely none.
I wanted to ask you about section 454-490.
Can I just follow up on that one real quick? So there was no, in the criminal proceeding, there had to be something saying he was the father and something saying he didn't pay support for the criminal proceeding to go forward, wasn't there?
When the administrative order was docketed and when he didn't pay, then he was charged with criminal non-support.
But it was based on the administrative finding, in effect, default finding, as opposed to a hearing at which evidence was presented.
That's correct.
Okay. Yes. I wanted to ask you about 454-490. That's where if the DCSE order, when it's docketed with the circuit clerk, that it shall have the same force, according to the statute, the same force, effect, and attributes of a docketed order or decree, including but not limited to lien effect and enforceability by supplementary proceedings, contempt of court, execution, and garnishment. How do you handle this statute when it says but not limited to, and including, why couldn't a criminal contempt for non-support proceeding follow?
That certainly has been what has happened here. I simply believe that the legal process, which snowballed to make David a criminal, should be larger. It's an old process that preceded DNA testing with the sophistication.
Well, you've not brought some constitutional challenge to the validity of this statute or these procedures, have you? No, I didn't see that in the briefs.
Only that he has not been given his money is so limited. He works 3 weeks in a row and then he doesn't work. So he can't do it.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court. I'd first like to talk about exactly the process that DCSE went through.
Can you, before you get into that, what we're really talking about is the judgment in the administrative case.
Correct.
And we're giving collateral estoppel effect to that, aren't
yes.
we?
Yes.
Because we're asking, is the issue the same? Yes, it's the same issue.
Yes.
But in every other civil case context, the application of collateral estoppel is dependent upon not a default judgment, but upon the issue actually having been litigated. So that collateral estoppel is never given to effect in a civil context, I believe, is never given to a prior default judgment. It's given to a judgment in a case that's been litigated. So how can we do this in the criminal context?
Is your question referring to whether the administrative order declaring him to be the parent of that child, he was collaterally stopped from attacking that in the criminal proceeding?
Right, because
Yes.
Because the issue in the administrative case was not fully and fairly litigated. It was a default.
It was a default after he had requested a hearing at which he did not appear.
But the issue itself was not litigated.
I agree, not litigated, but full and fair opportunity for litigation. He did have a full and fair opportunity.
Collateral estoppel doesn't go on opportunity. It goes on an actual issue having been litigated and becoming part of a judgment, not by default.
I understand. However, there are also cases which say for purposes of criminal proceedings for non-support, all you have to prove is that there was an order.
Sanders versus South.
Exactly.
Well, that did not deal with an administrative order entered in this way. That dealt with a court order. That's
correct.
And that's the issue that we're needing to address here. What is the distinction, if any, between one of these administrative orders, which is simply docketed and there's no hearing held at all in the trial court on whether or not there's facts supporting the administrative determination, and a prior judicial determination where the person chose in court, despite having that full and fair opportunity to litigate it, not to show up in court?
What I would say about Sanders is about as close to a default judgment as you can get.
Right.
Signed the stipulation for everything, didn't participate in any of the processes that he would have been accorded in that judicial proceeding.
Didn't show up at the hearing.
Didn't show up at the hearing, so it's a default hearing. And paternity is established, and Sanders says you get to use that default paternity.
Although Sanders said that he couldn't order a blood test, the trial judge had ordered a paternity test, a DNA test.
Which has the effect of preventing you from validly contesting by DNA.
You can get it another way. You can get it another way, though. You can't get an order.
I guess I'm struggling with your notion is you agree that the defendant would not be collaterally estopped from contesting paternity in a future dissolution. You agree that's the law and that a law is correctly announced?
I agree that that is the law.
How can it be that someone is collaterally estopped in a criminal proceeding from contesting paternity, but not in a civil proceeding? I'm finding that a hard notion to swallow.
Because the obligation, the criminal non-support statute also says a child of yours who you have a legal obligation to mm-hmm. support. So the decision, the administrative order, declares him to be the father of that child.
Mm-hmm.
And that is also the legal obligation that he has to support that child.
Well, why wouldn't that apply in the dissolution proceeding then? And he would be precluded. I know of no other circumstance in which something is given collateral estoppel effect to in terms of some future causes of action, but not others.
I can tell you there is a per curiam opinion from the Eastern District that says you are collaterally stopped from contesting.
And why isn't that a legislative prerogative, too?
You know, what it really boils down to is this is kind of a legislative issue. When the legislature passed the statute that says upon docketing of that administrative order, it has all the force, effect, and attributes of a docketed order or decree of the circuit court, I don't know how much closer you could get.
Well, they could have said it's the same thing as a judgment of the circuit court, and they didn't go that far.
No, they didn't. But if it has all the force of that judgment.
Well, it's actually not a judgment. I think our cases say they can't say it's a judgment. That would be unconstitutional because you cannot, a court issues a judgment, not an administrative.
And not
then.
So did you see a distinction between this administrative order and an Article 5 judgment?
Well, the distinction clearly is the administrative order was done by administrative process, and an Article 5 judgment is done in a court of law. That's clearly the distinction.
But the effect of it, do you see a distinction there?
According to that statute, there is none.
Well, actually, the statute does not say you can enforce it in criminal proceedings. It says supplementary proceedings, contempt of court, execution and garnishment. It doesn't say dissolution of marriage. It doesn't say criminal non-support. I think it's pretty limited. More, it says it can be used, and without mentioning it can be a basis for criminal action, it seems to me you're reading something further into it.
But the statute also says including but not limited to. So it provides that list and says you're not limited to those things that this judgment
has.
So
you think it means everything? Then why doesn't it apply in the dissolution? Dissolution of marriage under this, you're saying it would. I mean, if it means everything, and that's just some of the things happen to be listed, then it means everything.
I think in a dissolution of marriage proceeding, he's going before a court of law on a paternity judgment. He should have the right to litigate that. Now, the problem is that His name is on a birth certificate. Unless you make that other father the party in that dissolution action, that child has no father at the conclusion of that dissolution.
That he still hasn't taken advantage of.
Still hasn't gotten
if
divorced.
If he gets a dissolution, if he gets his marriage dissolved, and the court in the marriage dissolution action determines that he's not the father of this child, will you continue to enforce the child support obligation from the administrative order?
If there is a court order from the circuit court directing us to terminate that administrative order,
they don't have any jurisdiction to do that. Yes, the family court judge, the judge in the family matter would have the obligation to say what the decree says as between these two parties. The state is not a party to the divorce, is it?
We can be a party in a dissolution action. We are not. I mean, there is no divorce pending, so we are not in this case.
Would you intervene?
We have before.
Pardon? So you would intervene to say that even though the court finds that he is not the father of the child, that you would still believe that the administrative order could be enforced and that you would prosecute him for not continuing his support obligation of his child?
Unless that court says that that order is now terminated and there's a new obligation of support created.
Why wouldn't it make more sense to allow the administrative order to merely raise with the trial court a rebuttable presumption, one that exists, for example, when a child is born of a marriage, that allows the defendant to produce evidence that he's not the factual father of the child? Wouldn't that make more sense than a conclusive presumption, as you're arguing for?
When you are saying the trial court, do you mean the criminal trial?
The criminal trial court. In other words, the trial court here, you say, gave it conclusive effect. Would not even consider the fact that factually he might not be the father of the child. And I'm saying, wouldn't it make more sense? You've already acknowledged that it makes sense in a later dissolution where you're before a trial judge to allow a father to deny his parentage. Why shouldn't we allow it in the criminal context and just say, we'll allow the administrative order some effect, but not conclusive effect? That's all we allow to the existence of marriage.
Those administrative orders are done in all kinds of circumstances, not just this one.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you would have, if you don't have a conclusive effect, is you have the potential to have
a trial judge find factually that he was not the father and was not guilty of the offense of non-support.
You have the potential to have him find not guilty,
mm-hmm.
find
right.
him not guilty, but not that he's not the father because...
Mm-hmm.
He would not make that finding and would not have the authority to make that.
At the administrative proceeding, there are no attorneys. There's no requirement for attorneys. But at a criminal proceeding, if the defendant faces time, they can't afford it, a public defender. That's the first time this person has an attorney. They can explain the law and deal with the law. And following up Judge Moody, why can't a criminal judge have the same authority as a civil judge to declare him not the father and not liable to pay it? Because the first time he has an attorney is at the criminal proceeding.
Because that is not the matter that is before the criminal judge.
Let me ask you this. If this guy is on trial for criminal non-support and he has a paternity test, he has had the DNA testing with the cooperation of his estranged wife, is the results of the paternity test irrelevant?
Yes.
So the judge should exclude that from evidence. So to go to Judge Mooney's point, the administrative order gives an absolute, not a presumption anymore, but an absolute effect, no quarrel with it.
I have no quarrel
any,
with that.
Any evidence introduced to negate that would be irrelevant.
I have no quarrel with that.
Counsel, if I understand the briefs correctly, in the administrative proceeding, the administrative agency can find that the person is the father, but the person cannot prove they are not the father. Is that correct?
They can they can present evidence that they are not the father, and then we do not... Our authority is not to enter the order.
They have no ability to get a finding that they are affirmatively not the father.
That's correct, not in the administrative process.
Why then isn't that relevant to the collateral estoppel effect of the administrative order in the subsequent criminal proceeding? Because they have had no opportunity at all, much less a full and fair one, to prove that they are not the father. They have no such opportunity until the criminal proceeding, so they shouldn't be precluded from doing that. Collateral estoppel only applies to things that are actually litigated, not things that could have been litigated. That's res judicata, and this is a different cause of action.
My argument on that issue is, had he appeared at his hearing, presented evidence at his hearing, and not just the conclusion that I'm not the father, but presented all this evidence at his hearing, then there would not be an order, so we would not have a child that is legitimated.
Well, it's true, but he doesn't have a right to
a criminal non-support.
Well, he doesn't have a right to an attorney at that point in time, though, in your administrative proceeding at the state's expense, does he? So, in other words, when the critical issue of fatherhood is to be litigated, to your mind, he has no right to counsel.
That's correct. In a judicial paternity action, he also has no right to counsel.
There's never been any court to say that there's a right to counsel on that issue, is there?
No, on civil. It's a civil proceeding. There is no...
How does collateral estoppel ever come into play? I'm not sure that I understand.
I think what the argument is on the collateral estoppel is, once that administrative determination is made that David Salazar is the father of this child, he is the father of this child forever.
That's not what it says.
It doesn't say he's the father. It just says he has an obligation to support that child because the child has been legitimated by legal process.
Right.
All that does is create a legal liability.
The decision and order of support makes the finding that he is the parent. He is found to be the parent of Angelia Salazar.
Let me ask you this. The burden in the civil proceeding, in the administrative proceeding, is by a preponderance of the evidence, is it not?
Correct.
And isn't the burden of the state to show that he's the father, is that not by a proof beyond a reasonable doubt?
The standard in the criminal proceeding is proof beyond a reasonable doubt.
But you haven't proved beyond a reasonable doubt that he's the father. Somebody has proved in the default judgment, at most, they proved by preponderance the evidence that he's the father. They have not proved that beyond a reasonable doubt.
That's correct.
So why shouldn't you be able to introduce evidence to rebut the, if you give any effect, as Judge Mooney asked, to the civil judgment, why wouldn't you allow evidence in to rebut that? Because the state has a burden of showing beyond a reasonable doubt that this is the father of the child.
The definition of child in the criminal non-support statute is any child who's been legitimated by legal process. And once that order is entered, our contention is that child has been legitimated by legal process.
That was the dissenting opinion in the Sauer case.
Exactly. That's what they're talking about. It was not legal process.
Hasn't the mother denied that he's the father of the child all the way back to the administrative proceeding? In fact, even named another man as the father, which he's actually had a second child by two?
Both the mother and the father said that David Salazar was not the father of Angelia Salazar.
And that had no bearing on the administrative decision?
All that they had said is he's not the father. There were no facts, nothing that says that. And I point out that the trial transcript shows they were married in June of 2000. This child was born in November of 2001. And they said they'd already been separated for 14 months, which in effect means they separated approximately 1 month after they were married.
There is a point you say by legal process, and that gets to the point of being able to find more than one conclusion in the administrative hearing. But also, when you said they're not entitled to counsel, Angersinger versus Hammer still is good law, even though it's over 30 years old, that you have a right to a counsel if you have the possibility of criminal time. He had a right at some point at the criminal proceeding, but yet the facts are already determined in your case, to criminal counsel appointed if he can't afford one.
He does have criminal counsel in his criminal proceeding. He does not have the right in the civil proceeding because that civil proceeding doesn't carry the possibility of time.
If he had appeared in the administrative proceeding and they found that he was not the father, he's still married. and he's not supporting a child born during the marriage, could the prosecutor not prosecute him? Couldn't the prosecutor prosecute him for failing to support his child?
Saying that he has a legal duty to support that child because that child is presumed to be his?
Pardon?
Yes.
Is that your question,
yes.
Saying he has
yes.
a legal duty?
Yes.
Yes.
On the independent ground of the presumption.
Right. Yeah. The legal duty.
So the judgment of the administrative order is given effect only if it's a finding that he is the father. But if there's a finding that he's not the father, it's given no effect whatsoever.
Well, there is never a finding that he's not the father. There's just no order at all.
Well, there's something. There's a piece of paper that ends the administrative proceeding.
Yes, but it's just that we decline to enter the order. They cannot say he is not the father. They just decline to enter the order.
Thank you,
Goodness
counsel.
Gracious.
As Judge Price noted, there is some confusion in the different statutes that control this. But as the court has also noted, even though Mr. Salazar was afforded legal counsel at the criminal trial, by that time it was a slam dunk for the state. They had no reason, no opportunity even to try to introduce exculpatory evidence, which is normally required of a prosecutor. But they didn't have to do that. They had an administrative decision, and that was all that was needed, legitimated by legal process. I don't know exactly what that means. Again, 30 years ago, that was the language, and it's kind of an open-ended thing. I believe that because DNA was not nearly so sophisticated 30 years ago as it is now. I believe that because there was far greater concern 30 years ago for a child not having a father listed on a birth certificate, that legitimated by legal process.
Let me ask you a quick question if you
yes.
have much time. It's a uniform law. Have other states dealt with this in the way that you have asked us to deal with it?
The other states seem to also have had this problem. I see lots of references to this from states all over the country that are part of this uniform grouping of statutes. But again, I believe something more has to be added. I don't think we should throw out legitimated by legal process.
Does any other state support your position?
Other states would seem also to use this language, legitimated by legal process, but I don't know what some of the other states have now added as part of the administrative requirements for that legal process. You will remember that in Sanders v. Sauer, that fellow was afforded 4 opportunities to get blood tests by an honest-to-God regular Article 5 judge, because that judge believed that blood tests, DNA analysis, made sense. It wasn't so popular 30 years ago because it was less reliable. Today it is. I believe that legitimated by legal process should be required to include the opportunity for DNA testing, especially in cases such as this, where both the mother and her husband have denied that this is his child.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.